This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The 16th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States celebrates its 100th birthday on Sunday. And as amendments go, it's not the most memorable or the most poetic. It is only one sentence, just 30 words. But in those 30 words lies the government's power to levy the income tax. And it turns out that even 100 years ago, the question of who ought to pay what was a big one. From the Wealth and Poverty Desk, Tracy Samuelson has more.
The 16th Amendment may be turning 100, but the American income tax is actually even older.
The real beginning is in the Civil War, when there was an income tax in place for, most people don't realize this, almost 10 years.
Charlotte Crane is a law professor at Northwestern University. She says when the income tax ended, lots of people actually wanted it back, because without it, the government was raising money mostly through tariffs or taxes on imports. Crane says they hit the poor and middle class harder than the rich. So a permanent federal income tax was created in 1913, a breezy 15 pages. But actually, not many people had to pay it.
It may have affected something like 2% of Americans.
Carolyn Jones is a law professor at the University of Iowa. She's bringing cake to her class next week to celebrate the anniversary.
It was clearly a soak the rich kind of tax. It wasn't viewed as a major source of federal income.
The top tax rate was only 7%. Just a few years later, it ballooned to 77% to pay for World War I. Joe Thorndike, the director of the Tax History Project, says it wasn't until World War II that the income tax started to look like it does today.
Because that's when the tax is transformed from a class tax on the rich to a mass tax on the middle class.
If the income tax has changed over time, one thing's been largely consistent. The questioning of who should pay how much. What is someone's fair share? Sound familiar? In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.